Father, we do pray that you would indeed speak to us now so that we can know you more and how we should live as your followers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please do be seated. Well, when I was a child a long, long time ago, I was fascinated with magnets. I was amazed at how a magnet could, on the one hand, powerfully attract another magnet, and yet all you had to do is turn it around to see the opposite. The magnet would repel another magnet away. Well, recently, in the letter of 1 Peter, we've seen how a godly Christian lifestyle can be a powerful, attractive force, just like a magnet. So in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 11 and 12 we saw how Peter summarised this principle of attraction. And Peter explained to his Christian readers how if they abstain from sin and if they live such good lives, well then people will sit up and take notice. People will start to say, wow, these Christians really are good, loving people. There is something so beautiful in the way they live their lives. Maybe there is something good in worshipping this Jesus after all. So you see that attractive pull that godly Christian living can have. And then we saw that Peter went on to apply this, saying first of all how Christians should be good, submissive citizens in society. And we saw that in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 13 to 17. Then Christians are to be hard-working employees in the workplace. That was chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. And then when John Fisher was here, he got the short straw. But chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, we saw that Christians are to be gentle, submissive, respectful spouses at home. Chapter 3, verse 8, just one verse, then applies it to the relationships in the church. We're to love each other as brothers, being all compassionate and humble. And Peter says, look, if you live lives like this, they will be hugely attractive. When we live like this, people who are not yet Christians should be drawn to Jesus and see, as they see the light of Christ shining in us. However, although living lives of such godly Christian discipleship may attract some people, it's going to repel others, just like those magnets I played with as a child. There's also a repelling force of godly living. And we see that, don't we? Some people get very angry with Christians, don't they? Just one example, Peter Tatchell. He's often in the news. He wants people to live alternative lifestyles of pre-sex with as many partners as possible of either gender. And he's actually in the past asked for the age of consent to be lowered to 14. And although he might talk about same-sex marriage positively, in the past he's talked against all sorts of marriage. He's spoken against wedlock, saying it has the word lock in it. Well, that's his agenda. He therefore hates biblical Christianity, which of course clearly states that sex only belongs to monogamous heterosexual marriage. Or then maybe take the Bible's teaching that all races are equal in the eyes of God. Whether black or white, Asian or European, it makes no difference at all to God. He makes no distinction. All are invited to come to Jesus Christ. All are invited to the party that is heaven. We're heirs together of the kingdom, no matter what race. And some people hate that, don't they? So just last week in South Carolina, 9 black people were in church at a prayer meeting and they were shot dead. So today we move on from how the Christian lifestyle attracts to how it repels. And when it does repel, when we face opposition, maybe even persecution, how are we to respond? And that's the first question today's Bible reading answers, as we look at verse 9 to 22. How are we to react to inevitable opposition? Well, the first instruction we're given is this. Don't seek revenge, but follow the pattern of Christ. Don't seek revenge, but follow the pattern of Christ. Take a look at verse 9 in the Bibles. verse 9 of chapter 3. It couldn't be clearer, could it? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Well, that's not easy, is it? The temptation when somebody wrongs us is to do what? It's to seek revenge, isn't it? But Jesus says, no, not if you're one of my followers. Do not seek revenge. And look again at verse 9, what it goes on to. It says we're to respond in accordance with our calling. We have a calling as Christians, and it's to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. How did Jesus respond to those who persecuted him? Well, when he was on the cross, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And we're to follow this pattern of Christ. The pattern's described further in the next few verses, as Peter quotes from Psalm 34, verse 10. We're to keep our lips from evil and deceitful speech. Verse 11, we're to turn away from the ways of evil and seek peace, which is so opposite to our natural impulses. I mean, when somebody strikes us on the cheek, what is our gut reaction? It is to hit back, isn't it? But what happens if we do hit back? Escalation. That's what happens. And we can see that right the way back, in the playground. You can see it in nursery. A child hits another child. Child number 2 responds. They hit back. We don't leave it behind in the playground, though, do we? We grow up, and you can see it as adults, with road rage. As two drivers try just to sort of outdo each other in being nasty to one another, going in front of another, slamming the brakes. We see it with squabbles with neighbours. We see it too often, even at council meetings. We see it at an international level, between governments, and just witness Russia and the West. We're at it again, aren't we? Escalation, more nuclear weapons being built again. Why? Because to hit back is our gut instinct. But the way of Jesus Christ is to say, no, do not hit back. Turn the other cheek. Do not repay evil with evil, but with blessing. Because to this you are called. Turn from evil and do good. Because only then can this vicious cycle of escalation be halted. So don't seek revenge, but follow the pattern of Christ. If we take a look at verse 13, Peter then asks the question, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? That's just a reminder that most of the time, godly Christian living actually keeps us safe. People are usually pleased to see our good deeds. That's the attractive pull of the magnet. But verse 14 goes right back into the repelling force of the magnet. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Some people will make us suffer for doing right. And again, how are we to respond to that? Well, here in verses 14 and 15, the instruction is now, don't fear man, but fear God. Don't fear man, but fear God. If you look halfway through verse 14, do not fear what they fear, i.e., don't fear human beings. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. In short, don't fear man, but fear God. When facing opposition, it's easy to cave in under pressure. After all, we all want to be liked, don't we? We want to receive the approval of others. That's natural. When people disapprove of us, well, it's tempting just to compromise our Christian standards so that we fit in. But when we feel that temptation to cave in, who are we fearing? Are we fearing man or God? So let me illustrate with a young man called Joe. Joe was a young Christian man. He'd been working for a firm of solicitors for 3 weeks. And one lunchtime, the team went out for an extended lunch, and it was one of those very long lunches, so long they didn't go back to the office in the afternoon. The following day, Joe's in the office, and he's told to charge a client for the previous afternoon's work, even though there'd been no work. 5 hours at £125 per hour. Well, Joe did not want to do it. That would be fraud, he thought. But he so wanted to fit in. He so wanted to impress his co-workers. Can you see? He was in danger of succumbing to the fear of man. Well, being a good Christian, Joe refused. But in doing so, he made himself very unpopular in the office. But you see, in his heart, what he was doing is setting apart Christ as Lord. The next morning, a colleague accidentally spilled hot coffee onto him, and it hurt, and it stained his shirt. But Joe did not retaliate. If we're living a godly lifestyle, there will be times when we're put under pressure to do wrong, and it's so tempting to cave in. We want to receive the approval of those around us. But the instruction here is, don't fear human beings, fear God. Well, Joe really did get it in the neck for standing firm for what is right. And eventually he was questioned by his manager. Why are you doing this? Why won't you charge this client? We do need to make a profit in this business, you know. In response, Joe kept his cool. He said he would only charge the client on one condition. If he could come in and make up the hours on a Saturday afternoon. He explained, look, I'm a Christian. Jesus tells me to be honest and fair in what I do. And you know, Jesus has done so much for me in my life that it's only fair that I do as he asks. Well, we're now into the territory of verses 15 and 16, which I'll read again. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. The third instruction on how we should react to opposition then is, keep witnessing to Christ. Keep on gently and with respect witnessing to Christ. You see, when Joe's manager called him in, Joe saw the opportunity to witness to Jesus. He explained his actions gently, with respect, describing his faith. And Joe was a man who put his words into action. By offering to come in on a Saturday afternoon, he made his colleagues feel ashamed of their slander. And that started to win some of them around, although others of his colleagues hated him all the more for it. But as verse 17 says, it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for evil. Better this, thought Joe, than to be a cheat, and then maybe even be found out, and that really would bring the name of Christ into disrepute. But there we have three instructions on how we should react to opposition. Don't seek revenge, but follow the pattern of Christ. Don't fear man, but fear God, and keep witnessing to Christ. Our next question is, what enables us to react like this? What enables us to react like this? Well, Peter gives us three assurances that help us to react without retaliation, without caving into the fear of man, and to keep witnessing. Assurance number one is the promise of future blessing. This takes us back to verse 9. Verse 9 said, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. You may inherit a future blessing. That's what Jesus has in store for us if we stand firm. We will inherit the kingdom of God. And this whole letter of 1 Peter is very strong on that, saying, look, really, this world is not our home, not our true home. Our home is the everlasting kingdom. That is the blessing we will inherit. I once heard about a miner trapped underground in total darkness. It was very traumatic for him. After his rescue, he was asked, how did you cope? And his answer was simply, I knew that help was on its way. I knew it was only a matter of time before I would be back in the world of light and reunited with my family. That thought kept him going. It's the same idea here. Sometimes we have to put up with evil and suffering for being Christian. One thing that keeps us going and standing firm is the assurance of future eternal blessing. As aliens and strangers in the world, we look ahead to our future inheritance. That's assurance number one. Future blessing. Assurance number two is the assurance of current blessing. Verse 18 reminds us that Christ died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. We are currently blessed here and now, even if we do face opposition and suffering, because we've been brought close to God. We're blessed because we know our sins have been wiped out by Jesus dying in our place on the cross. We are blessed that we are now in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Jesus, of course, said he would be with us even to the end of the age, and so he is. His Holy Spirit is with us every day. That's the second assurance, current blessing. Forgiveness of sins, knowing Jesus personally. Assurance number three is the assurance of Christ's victory over evil. We didn't read the last few verses in this section. Verses 18 to 22 are very difficult verses, and I don't have time to explore them in any depth. But one thing is clear. The end of verse 18 reminds us that having died, Jesus was raised to life again. He is victorious over death. And the end of verse 21 reminds us that we are saved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22 tells us Jesus has now gone into heaven. He is at God's right hand, and angels, authorities, and powers are all in submission to him. Just put simply, Christ has the final word over evil. He is victorious over it. And this same Jesus is on our side. So there we have three great motivations that help us to stand firm when we face opposition, so that we don't have to seek revenge, we don't have to fear man, but we can keep on witnessing gently to the Lord Jesus. In the office, Job was tempted to cave in. The opposition he faced was horrible. Coffee spilt on him, verbally abused. But he did not seek revenge. He followed the pattern of Christ. He feared God rather than man, knowing Christ has the victory, knowing that Christ is with him always, and having that assurance of the future blessing of an eternal inheritance. Well, in conclusion, as followers of Jesus, we may find that we repel people. We may find opposition and taunting because we're Christian. But we are called to walk in Christ's footsteps, to turn the other cheek, to offer a blessing in return, not a curse, and to trust in Christ, remembering these three great assurances. So let's continue to show respect as we gently stand up for the Lord Jesus and for what is right. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the positive force of the magnetic pull that a Christian living has. But help us to stand firm when it repels others away and they take offence at us. Help us not to fear them, but to look to you instead. Thank you for these great assurances. Above all, help us not to seek revenge, but simply to follow in your footsteps, trusting in your great plans for us. Amen. Let's just take a moment of silence. Allow the Holy Spirit to keep speaking to us.